Hey, good morning, gardeners. We could have worse weather today, but getting up, it's above freezing. A little overcast, not a heavy-duty breeze. Hardly any breeze, actually. Going to be a warm enough day that maybe with a light jacket, you could be outside working in the garden. Or not. It's that kind of weather. It'd be a decent day to go for a walk. Really high possibility of rain tomorrow. That is fantastic. We need the rain. It's kind of hard. I know people like, well, it's my day off and it's going to rain. And, well, you know, I'm sorry. I run into that myself. It's disappointing. But the thing is that we need this moisture. We're on the edge of a drought, and it looks like that's going to extend a ways. The La Nina is not going to give up too quickly. So we're going to have warmer and drier than we would normally have. And the argument that, well, hell, it'll be warmer. That'll be fantastic because these plants will start growing. That's not exactly how that works. We're more likely to have severe swings in the climate, in the temperatures that we have. So we may be 80 today, and like it was the other day, we had a 40 to 50 degree drop, depending on where you live. So we have weirdness going on. When the going gets weird, the weird get tough and take it on, and we're going to garden our way through this. Now, I happened to catch a show the other night. I was just amazed. You know, sometimes the content of the show is amazing, and sometimes the cinematography, such as the photography of what they're looking at. And this show kind of wrapped up both of them. It was on PBS. It was a Nova program, and it was called Butterfly Blueprint. And it was only 53 minutes of discussion of the amazingness of butterflies and moths. That butterflies had invented transparent wings long before we had glass. And they had the ability to filter out toxins. They had the ability to resist water so much that you could dunk them in a tank and they would come out completely dry. Just these weird little factoids and a discussion of how it worked. And I got to tell you, PBS Nova, Butterfly Blueprint. If you're a Passport user, it's in Passport. If you don't know what Passport is, please go to your local PBS station and look at what Passport does. I can't tell you how many of the series available under Passport. We've already watched from end to end and are waiting for new seasons of. But this was a beautiful, beautiful show showing how butterflies produce the colors they do, how they fly, how they... They're little solar collectors. Great show. Great show. And I would say kid-friendly, too. You know, that's one thing with some of the nature shows. You can have the Disney version where everything is peaches and cream and, you know, we just have these all these nice animals and insects behaving well together and wonderful. And then you can have the slightly more adult version of this where we get to watch every critter be eaten and their head bitten off or something like that. This was more on the Disney side, but that didn't make it factually correct. There were a couple of scenes where if you had a four-year-old, they probably would be a little upset with it. Maybe. Depends on your four-year-old. But it was a great program, and if it's on Nova right now and you have PBS, it's free. But Passport allows you to select it as a choice. and will be on their program schedule for a long time. It was a good investment we made when we got Passport. We have investigated all kinds of things from 500-year-old boats, ships, excuse me, Navy guys, I'm sorry. I was Air Force. To spaceships, to my grandkids, just can't turn it off. But it was a good program, and it gave a really good explanation as to the benefit of the butterflies to us as a society and civilization, because they're such heavy pollinators. There are better pollinators, no doubt about it. But many of our pollinators have specialized. There is only one type of bird that can pollinate vanilla bean, the actual orchid of vanilla, and pollinate it. And it needs to do it at a certain time of the day. It's really impressive. It's like before 10 o'clock on a Tuesday, something like that. So we need to understand, yeah, bees are important, okay? And before somebody says, Einstein said, when we lose bees, we lose society. No, he didn't. That quote came out of nowhere. He'd been dead for years. Also, when we talk about bees as pollinators and that they pollinate up to a third of our food crop, we need to think about that for a second. Because that third of the food crop are foods that weren't readily available to us. We had to put bees in boxes and truck them all over the country to be able to get pollination rates that made for harvest that allow us to ship the product everywhere so everybody can have this particular food, almonds being one of the obvious ones. So bees are important. They're critical to agricultural operations. But they're not life and death to us. There are lots of pollinators, and we should never forget, if it's not a bee, that's not a bad thing. Wasps, ants, animals, lizards, geckos, butterflies, moths, skippers, all of those are critical pollinators to the environment. It really makes it important to understand whenever you go out there and spray something, you are cutting out a huge part of the chain of keeping things happy, healthy, and productive. If you take out one pollinator, you actually lose lots of parts of the chain, because without that pollinator, you may not get a food crop that feeds a different pollinator. So remember that. Always, always approach a problem in the garden with the minimal impact you can make. You start taking out pollinators, you got to do the job. And trust me, they work at it harder than you do. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're up against our first break. If you hang on, we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. You know, out there in the garden right now, we're in a, I don't want to say no man's land. I don't want to say we're in a gap of we don't know what to do, or we're at the mercy of the weather. But we are in a position where we are going to have to take advantage of things, catch it as we can. There is no doubt we are going to have more freezing weather. If we don't have more freezing weather, that's going to be a miracle. So that is something that we have to pay attention to and be prepared for. So like they say, make hay while the sun shines. If it is a day that's not freezing, there's lots of things to do. You check the water for your plants. I know rain is supposedly coming. I kind of don't like gambling on that anymore. When's the last time you fertilized or applied organic matter? That's even more crucial to the development of your soil and the success of your plants, whether it's a vegetable or a tree. So there are things we can be doing, short, little, let's run out and take care of this one thing. And it can make a huge impact in the quality of your landscape, garden, trees, turf, all of it. Because of the weather, sometimes we have to work around it. But that's something that's easily done. And in a minute, let's talk about some of the things we can sneak in there and some of the things we should not be doing. Okay? Let's go to the phone. This is Lammy. Good morning. What can I help you with?
Is February the right time to plant a flame-leaf sumac?
Fall is the best time. From about October through maybe the end of March, you may even be able to go to the end of April, depending on the weather. The sooner they're in the ground during the cold weather, the faster they can build up roots so they're not so damaged by the hot weather of summer. So this is a great time if you've got the plant, you got the time to properly plant it. Yes, this is a wonderful time to do so. But you could have done this as early as October.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, folks, sorry, got to go through the comments here. You may plant a tree in Texas any time of the year. Seriously, you can plant a tree in Texas any time of the year. The difference is, if that tree goes in the ground during incredibly hot weather conditions, you're going to have to make sure that you accommodate the tree. Possibly more water, possibly more mulch, more labor. That's why we talk about planting the tree during the fall. For those of you who are from other than Central Texas, you probably came from a place that emphasized, no, you plant first thing in the spring. You plant first thing in the spring where you used to live. We don't here. You want to get it in the ground first thing in the fall. When that weather has broken, when those high temperatures are unlikely anymore, you want to get it in the ground in a properly dug hole. You want to plant it to the correct depth, meaning the very first root that comes out from the bottom of the tree, that root should be at soil level. We do not plant trees deeper than the root ball. We do not plant trees deeper than the root balls. Remember that theme. That does not help the tree. That can actually kill the tree. So we want to get the tree in the ground as early in the cool weather as we can, because the first thing it's going to do is try to reestablish the roots that were cut off of the tree that make it fit in the container you have. Now, sometimes we'll start getting calls here where it's, well, what about this tree? Or what about this tree? What about all trees? It doesn't matter what kind of tree it is. The perennial plants that we would put in the ground here in Sen, Texas, from Esperanzas to Pride of Barbados, Mexican Bird of Paradise, Texas Sages, on and on and on and on. Then any tree that is appropriate for our area. That's a big deal here, folks. Appropriate for our area. Those are the plants that we would like to stick in the ground earlier in the year. The October window is just an approximation. We stayed pretty warm in October. But that's the general rule of thumb. Get it in the ground while the conditions are as cool as possible. The tree may look dormant, not have any leaves on it. That is very common. But that doesn't mean the roots aren't growing. That just means it doesn't have leaves on it. And the plant has gone dormant. Now, you can see this in some varieties of roses. Other varieties of roses, it doesn't get cold enough here to make them dormant. Isn't that weird? Here we are in Texas, the hottest weather in the world, and we still have roses doing fantastic when as cold as can be. Some will even bloom. So earlier is better. It's easier to care for. It requires less care because it doesn't require as much water in the cool temperature. Notice I didn't say it didn't require water. It doesn't require as much water. It's easier to care for. A little care goes a long way. The plant established roots. And what you wind up with is by the time summer gets here, you have a plant that's really put down and expanded its roots. And the more roots you have on the plant, the more top growth you can have on the plant. The more stress-resistant, heat-resistant, disease- and pest-resistant the plant will be. And you get to enjoy the beauty earlier than you would if you waited until summer to plant it. Not as much work on your part, not as much stress on the plant. If you're from some place that constantly emphasizes you plant it in the spring, we don't do that here. You can do it. You can plant a tree at any time of the year in Texas. The difference is it impacts the success of the tree being established. You have more labor to do during hot weather, and you're going to have to spend a great deal more time monitoring the water that the plant receives to ensure that it has the proper soil moisture to establish those roots when it's 100 plus degrees out. So you can at any time. It's best if you could have done it in October. And if you haven't done it yet, you want to get it done before the end of March. Sooner is better in this scenario. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll need to take a break for the news. You can give me a call. The number is 512-836-0590. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. You know, planting is probably something that can be done today. It's hilarious. I saw a meme from someone yesterday, and it was so appropriate. And it was a group of people staying around. Somebody yells, "What do we want?" And the group of people say, "Plants. When do we want them? Now. Where are we going to put them? I don't know." That's not uncommon, folks, that you can suddenly, we have the phrase, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Well, apparently your eyes are bigger than the piece of ground you have and the number of container of pots you have in the potting soil to be able to plant everything that you want to have on your property. It's all right. It's all right. We all suffer from this. Let's go to the phone. This is Anthony. Good morning, Anthony. What can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. And that's the same question I'm about to ask you. So I bought a bunch of oak trees about maybe 5-6 months ago. And right now I want to create a natural mulch of oak trees. Is that possible to do, or just nature can do a mulch of oak trees?
You know, if you can find a spot in nature that kind of matches up with what you're looking at, you can take some pictures and sort of, you know, get the angles on it and stuff, and then you could recreate that on your property. Now, you're going to have a really hard time because the randomness and the pattern, two opposites there, the randomness and the pattern that nature throws out there, you may have difficulty trying to exactly recreate it, but there's no reason you can't walk through a thicket or around the edge of an area that is kind of laid out the way that you're talking about and get a good understanding of who's going to go where. Now, the best bet here, hopefully, because you're starting it, and these didn't really develop from the acorn in the spot where they're going to be, you may want to be a little cautious about making sure that everything you put in the ground can get sunlight. Now, in a natural environment, nature can struggle through with an acorn and turn it into a tree, and you're going, there's no sun here, but I still got this huge tree. That's because nature can do that. When you're planting an already grown tree, you still have to meet its requirements. So that would be the thing I would double check on. The plants do not require 24 hours of sunlight, but even the biggest, best trees still require some. So you can do what you're asking, and you can probably find some really good examples without going very far. Some parks have this set up, not intentionally. They just happened to build a park where the trees did this.
But I have a few of those in my property, but I just wanted to recreate something like that that I have on my property into somewhere like a bald spot that I that's sitting there. So I wanted to put a couple of live oaks there, and hopefully it creates that natural look that the nature provides us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can do this, but like I said, you have trees that are in a container and they're of moderate size already. We're not talking about planting an acorn. And because they're already growing, they have requirements to keep growing. So if you're going to plant them this way, you really want to stand where you're going to dig the hole, and you want to look around and be very positive of the fact that if you put that tree there, that it's going to be able to get sunlight because it's going to need that to establish. I think you can recreate what you're seeing on other places. Just don't, you know, don't put the trees in the shade and expect them to kind of take over for you.
Okay. I appreciate it, Jeff, and I'll listen to you, but thank you.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you very much. Now, see, here's the perfect example, folks. Anthony's walking around a piece of property. It's his property, but it could be a local park. It could be somebody's farm. It could be a city property. And he has observed a particular pattern of nature that he likes how it displays itself. These trees, he didn't plant. They were randomly planted because of thank you squirrels and blue jays who just love to take acorns and put them and hide them in the ground. And that randomness from the blue jays, that randomness from the squirrels, resulted in a particular appearance that he liked. You should be able to recreate that. He's starting with a head start. What he's looking at was started by a whole bunch of acorns. And they grew up, fortunately, and they look great. The reality is, he's got partially grown trees. So go look at the place that you like the appearance of. Take pictures, make marks, write down on a piece of paper, well, this is a live oak here, and this is a chinkapin, and this one over here, oh, wow, that's a cedar elm. That's not even an oak. Make a point to know which one is which. Draw it out on a piece of paper, and you may be able to recreate it on your property. And being careful, planting correctly, doing all the things you need to do to keep a tree happy, you could wind up recreating this natural environment and using the trees as kind of a border. And it looking fantastic and requiring a minimal amount of care. But can you copy nature? Yeah, for the most part, you can. Nature had a head start, though. Like I said, nature employed squirrels and blue jays, and I'm not sure that we have acorn woodpeckers in central Texas. We may. But because of what those animals did with an acorn, nature got those acorns to grow and established this particular wall of trees that Anthony found very interesting and wanted to duplicate. The good thing is you don't have to start with a bunch of acorns. The good thing is that you have more selection than may have been in that field. But yes, you can easily walk through nature and observe a particular natural planting and put it together yourself. That's where we get many of our native plants. We have people who are hiking in the canyon lands who discovered mountain laurels, Texas sages, all of the plants that are what we put into our environment now. So many of the natives that are beautiful, someone was walking around and discovered it was growing without care, and they documented and observed where, the soil type, things like that. And guess what? Suddenly you can go to a nursery now and buy that plant, put it in your property, and enjoy the beauty of it. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're up against a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. You know, we are going to be kind of in a defensive mode in the garden for a while. Now, you go to weather, and we're going to hover below 45 degrees every night for the next week. Excuse me, below 45 degrees first thing in the morning. Now, that's pretty much tropical plants are not going to make it. You would really want to cover or protect tropical plants with the temperatures we're seeing in the next week. And you're probably, if you still have tomatoes going, congratulations, I'm impressed. But those temperatures are not tomato weather. They're way too cold. You probably have already lost your basil. A handful of flowers that won't like that cold weather. But we've got to be able to, you know, shift here because we're still going to be like 65 during the day and freezing at night. It's a no-win scenario for us, it seems like. So stay ahead of the game. Make sure you're watching the weather. Cover up a plant if you think it needs to be covered. There is no harm in covering a plant that doesn't need to be protected. It's just extra work on your part, but it will help the plant. We're going to see a lot of damage because we got cold enough that I bet a bunch of your leaves are burnt. They look brown and really pale. Yeah, that's not unusual. We got that cold. Take a pair of scissors, pruners, whatever, and pluck out all of the dead leaves. More than likely, many of the plants that we plant in the winter, especially our leafy green, you remove those bad leaves and you know they're just going to come back and put on new ones. And that's what we want, our leafy greens. We want lots of leaves. So go ahead and cut out bad if you want. Go ahead and cut off dead flowers, deadhead the plant. That will lead to more blooms. And yeah, it's okay to encourage blooming in this weather. Many of these plants are built to handle it. I mean, look at calendula and pansies and all petunias, all of these really super cold weather plants. They look terrible after a freeze, but then you come out and you walk by them a couple of days later, and it's like, hey, look, they got blooms on them. How'd that happen? Well, it happened because these are the kind of plants that we would normally plant at this time of the year. They are able to withstand the strange weather, whether it's cold or warm, and give us that really beautiful plant. I have some pink skullcap, Texas native, growing in my yard in the right by my front door, and I can see the pink flowers on it. That's providing nectar and food to a whole host of beneficial insects. Yeah, they've got to have some place to make it over winter, and skullcap's one of those plants. It has a high nectar content on its flower, and it is capable of withstanding some very cold weather, and still having a beautiful bloom. So enjoy your garden. Now look at your garden. See what's going on and where. I think I still have new leaves on my redbud. I can't understand that. I had my redbud really try to bloom here in December. Well, and it kind of did. I mean, there were the little deep purple flowers everywhere. And then I got all kinds of new leaves. And it's like, wow, I'm sorry, buddy, but you're really off cycle here. Well, I haven't looked, and I need to, but I think it finally went dormant and all its leaves froze off. Is it impacted by because it tried to bloom off season? No. Is there anything I could have done about it? No. So we just see that kind of behavior. I would consider it dormant now, and because it is dormant, there's a couple of branches that have been growing in the wrong direction. I'm going to cut them off. Yeah, this is a perfect time on all of our trees. Loss of leaves tend to say they're dormant. Not always, but it tends to put the plant in a low energy mode. When it's in low energy mode and you prune it, the impact of the pruning is much less than when it's actively growing, say, in March, April, or May. So that dormancy is what we're looking for, that drop of leaves. And we're going to prune up properly with good sharp cuts, good sharp tools, cleaned tools, to start shaping up so that we can make these plants appear in the spring as beautiful as possible. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're coming up against the top of the hour. We need to break for the news. We'll catch you on the other side.